Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming you out to a wonderful show again today. A show that's for you. It's a show that's about you guys. It's about creating that life of freedom today. To be able to have that cash flow, to be able to work because you want to, not because you have to, because you got your money working for you, so you don't have to work so hard for money. It's about all those things that allow you to have freedom today, because that's not what's being taught in the marketplace or in the financial industry. The financial advising industry is telling you to save everything, spend nothing, scrape and just get anything possible together to hopefully get out a meager retirement if you're lucky and if the market smiles on you correctly. And we're here about teaching you how to invest in yourself, how to invest in your businesses, and invest in things that actually produce great returns and great cash flow. So welcome to our show. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. Remember that there's great blogs on there. I've had people even recently, I was speaking in Vegas last night to a bunch of real estate investors, and I told them, I said, hey, if you want to see the numbers about why you won't be able to retire with a 401k, check out that. You know, we've got other podcasts before we address that too, but we've got the actual numbers right there. So check it out, as well as our free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. You can get there too. So today I want to talk about a particular subject that with really kind of going along with this whole theme that I talk about, which is, you know, I want you guys to actually create freedom. And freedom only comes with responsibility. You can never be a victim and be free. You can never think that everything else is outside your control and be free. And this is part of the problem with investing in markets, you know, especially when you're market driven, whether it's the stock market, it could even be the real estate market. But if you're gambling markets, you can never truly be free, because you're always at the mercy of someone else. You don't really have control of your own life or your own freedom. You know, even if you trade your own stocks, which I've actually taught people how to do, the thing is that obviously you're still gambling. You know, you don't really have any say. You're just hoping to guess correctly better. You know, you don't have to guess correctly more times, but you have to ensure that you're guessing correctly enough that the wins are bigger than the losses, right? And I've noticed a trend that's starting to come up, and I think it's going to get more and more prevalent. And this happened before. You know, this happened even just 10 years ago with us, right? Some of us remember this. Some of us were deeply impacted by it, like I was, where, you know, I went to over $1 million in debt during the last recession. I learned not to be lazy with my investing. And I've noticed that the trend is that people are starting to become more and more lazy. And it's not just lazy in the sense that you're not investing. It's actually the opposite. You're actually investing, but you're not thinking about it. Or you're investing believing that it always goes up, even though you logically know that it won't go up, or it won't always go up, right? You logically know this, but still your actions show differently. Your actions show like everything's going to be perfect forever. And I've seen this, and of course, I don't tell you whether or not you should buy and sell your investments right now, or, you know, whether that's in the real estate market, stock market, you know, Bitcoin market, whatever it might be. But what happens, though, is when you've had 10 years where the stock market's been generally up, right? I mean, we had a little bit of a hiccup with 2015, and not really much of a hiccup the last years after that, even. You know, like really since 2009, everything's been up. So 10 years, we've really seen the market just keep creeping upward, sometimes creeping up at a very fast pace. And of course, it was in answer to the 2000s, which were horrible, right? I mean, the market went down in the 2000s rather than up. And so when we see that, you know, I want people to understand that you cannot get lazy. You cannot sit on your duff and think that this is always going to be the case. Because, yes, the market does go up over time, but timing the market, and when you really look at the real returns of the market over time, they're not great. Sure, the last 10 years were great, but that's after the previous 10 years stunk, right? You have a negative return for 10 years. Naturally, you're going to have an upward swing that's going to throw the pendulum off. It's going to swing the other direction. Well, guess what? Now it's time for it to get back to normal. And that's what we're seeing now. And when you have the real rate of return of the stock market doing 7.5%, give or take, right? And that's not even including that whatever you might have. Even if you have an S&P 500 fund, it doesn't mean that anything's going to change. You know, it could be that things could, you know, even if you get the S&P 500, you still have fees in there that come out that are not considered part of the returns. You have taxes you have to consider because, you know, there's not really any great tax breaks when you deal with the stock market. Even with the Roth IRA, that's the best you've got, right? And even then, you can't put in that much money, not enough to retire. And so what I see happening is that people will keep sitting in the market because they're afraid, well, what if it keeps going up? So let me teach you a secret that I learned when I was investing in stocks and even teaching other people how to invest too. A big key concept that we would teach is that we would say, take your gains, right? Take your gains and then don't look back. You know, it's really hard to have hindsight 2020 when you look back, right? For example, I've probably had clients that I know have gotten out of the stock market around 2015, you know, and said, I'm not going to play that game. Now, obviously, hopefully they've done better stuff with that money. You know, they've done better investments and things of that nature, which I know a lot of them have. But it would be really tempting to look back and say, oh, but man, I missed out on all that growth, right? And this was common even when I taught people how to trade stocks and options. They would want to keep that stock riding. And even if it started to pull back, like if the stock started to go down a little bit, they would say, yeah, it's gone down a little bit, but it might keep going up. So I'm going to hang in there. And then the stock keeps going down. And then they keep hanging. And then it keeps going down more. And fortunately, you know, usually they'll have a stop loss. So they say, if it hits this point, I'm out. You know, no exceptions. It's a rule. And it's kind of like, when I talk about rules, you know, when you create rules, you know, I think of like Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, if you've seen that movie, right? And Captain Barbossa is talking with Elizabeth Swann, right? And she's saying like, hey, you know what? Like the pirate code says this. He's like, you know, he starts going on about how she's not a pirate and everything else, right? And he says, the pirate code is actually not so much rules as there are guidelines, right? That's my best pirate impersonation. There you go. You know, they're not so much rules as there are guidelines, is what he said about the code, right? So it's not a rule, it's a guideline. And there's a difference between guidelines and rules. Guidelines can be bent. It's kind of like a rule of thumb, right? But rules say, hey, if this happens, this is it. So when I was teaching people how to trade stocks, the only way that people could avoid losing a lot of money in the stock market was if they actually set some rules for themselves. So rules like a stop loss. So if it went, you know, even as it gained, there would be a trailing stop loss, meaning that whenever a stock might go down to a certain point, it keeps going up. But if it goes down to a certain point, you sell. No questions asked. In fact, a lot of people would set it automatically so it would sell for them. They would even have they had a choice because they set the stop loss limit, but it would actually go trigger automatically, so they couldn't second guess themselves, right? So that would happen, and that was a huge saver because you want to take your gains and capitalize on them, but you want to minimize your losses. That's the way you have to do it. And I have a very similar philosophy, although I'm a less risky philosophy than that. Even I'm like, don't try to lose anything. You know, do what you can to avoid losses at all costs. Manage your risk to as little as possible to get the maximum gains possible. But that also means that sometimes you want to take your gains and run. You know, and when we see markets like this, and come on, I mean, Trump sneezes weird and the market drops 2% like it did over the last few days. You know, he talked about putting tariffs on China, just trying to basically being a bully, you know, negotiate with them. And the stock markets freak out whenever he does this. Stuff that shouldn't matter, but it does because, of course, you put 25% tariffs on Chinese products or services or goods, and then everything in our market's going to inflate, and that means profits are losing, your profits are less, and therefore stock prices go down because stock prices are based on profits going up, right? So, you know, you have things like that happening in the marketplace that you have no control over. You didn't tell Trump, hey, this is what you should do. I think you should, you know, you shouldn't tariff them at all. You know, you shouldn't put any taxes on these things. That's not the case, right? That's not the real world we live in. And so when you're trying to gamble in a stock market with your mutual funds, your 401ks, your IRAs, you're at the mercy, you're at the risk of everybody else. You are a victim, and therefore freedom is impossible. You cannot be free in scarcity. You cannot be free in scarcity. It requires you to be in an abundant state of mind, a place of certainty that you know that no matter what happens in the world, you've got a plan, you've got a backup. That's essential. But what happens so often is that we start to get lazy because the market just keeps going up. And even with these little hiccups, hey, it's kind of like Mount St. Helens, you know, like actually this month we're about to celebrate the 39th anniversary of Mount St. Helens blowing up. And I know this because I was there so when it blew up. I wasn't on Mount St. Helens, just so you're aware. I would be dead. I was close enough that you could see Mount St. Helens from my house. And so when it blew up, you know, there was plenty of warning signs. There was tremors, there was quakes, there was little puffs of ash coming out. And they warned the people to evacuate. And not everybody did. Some just said, no, I'm not going to evacuate. I'm done. The problem was, of course, that eventually it did blow and it did kill some people that refused to leave. And I see the stock market kind of the same way. You don't have any control over what happens, but there are warning signs. There are signs coming saying, hey, listen, you know, even statistically speaking, if the market's been averaging, you know, 13% for the last 10 years, which is above the 7.5% average, and yes, that's after a negative return, but still, that's a little bit high, there's got to be a correction at some point. And so you have to be vigilant. You have to be watching. You can't just do like what I've talked to a few people lately where they say they turn a blind eye. They're like, I don't even want to watch the market. I just hope that it's there. I haven't really been checking my balances of my 401ks, but I hope the money's there. No, that's not the way we should be doing it. The way we should be doing it is actually being actively vigilant, watching, you know, not trying to get all crazy about it because yes, the market can make you go crazy if you watch it. You cannot get emotional about it. But you got to get to a point saying, well, where's enough enough? Now, take off the table, of course, when I've talked about different alternative investments we've talked about on this show before, whether it be in real estate, it could be in commodities like oil and gas or whatnot. It could be in different things like lending deals and notes and whatever might have contractual type of percentages attributed to certain investments, you know, whatever that might be. I mean, we've already talked about how cash flow, focusing on that, is way more important than accumulation. Because the stock market is not an accumulating kind of vehicle, right? This is not a place where you can guarantee certain returns, which is why most financial advisors would say live on 3%. So even if you're fortunate enough to save up $1 million in your mutual funds or 401k, congratulations. You're now living on $20,000 or $30,000 a year. You're now below the poverty line. You are now a broke, impoverished millionaire. Versus if you had $1 million paying you 10% a year, and that's contractual, right? Now you're making $100,000 a year versus just 20 or 30. It's a completely different scenario. So this is where, I mean, one, you got higher risk and gambling when you're focusing on markets. And then two, you don't even create the same cash flow. You have less cash flow with lackluster returns of the marketplace. That's not a great place to be. Now, I will add this too. Even a real estate market, if you're focusing on appreciation, right? Not on cash flow, but you're focusing on appreciation of the real estate market, it's very possible that you're going to also get burned at some point. It may not be today, and it may not be as drastic or as volatile as a stock market, but that's what people did 10 years ago, and they got crap. You know, they got horrible results. Now, you know, a lot of people will tell me, like, Chris, don't you think the market's at a high for real estate? Yeah, depending on the market, it can be. Some markets it is high. Other markets it's not. You know, that's the thing, is that there's always markets there. And same thing with the stock market, but stock market's a little bit more, it's a little bit more intense than that, you know. But real estate markets, you know, they change more slowly. And when they do change, you know, if you get the right types of properties, a lot of times the marketplace won't affect those prices very much, if at all. In fact, it could even drive up prices of the lower priced homes. Because if people can't afford the bigger priced homes, they go downsize for the lower priced ones. And that can create more competition, therefore driving up prices. So if you're looking at real estate, don't go for the big home runs of buying this $1 million, $500,000 home, you know, for an investment. That could be a little risky. If you're buying cheaper homes, you might be able to do that. So, but again, even the real estate market can be volatile, and we've already seen 10 years ago what happened to people when they did that. So it happened in the stock market and it happened in the real estate market all at the same time, and the bond market. So even when people have bought bonds, the people were losing money there too. So it didn't matter what you invested into the last recession. The only thing that I saw work during the last recession were a few things. One were your businesses. You know, if you had a business and you focus on that. Now, some people lost money and actually lost businesses during that time too. But focusing on investing in yourself or investing in opportunities of meeting demands for people. And that could be in the investment space. There was plenty of people begging for money and willing to pay for it because banks weren't willing to lend money. Lending was awesome as long as the deal was good. That's the problem. A lot of the deals weren't good. And so if you found the right deal, then lending was great because people needed money. At the same time, you know, we had people that were investing in their own businesses and doing great things. That's what I had to do too, to dig out of my hole. People asked me, even just this morning on Facebook, somebody asked me, they said, you know, Chris, what should I do? Like, I don't have a lot of cash to invest right now. I want to buy my own home, but I'm working full time. I'm going to school. I'm a single mom. What do I do? And my answer is create value. Like, get out there and find out how to help solve problems for people. And she even mentioned, could I work for somebody who's a real estate investor? Sure. But just make sure you're not doing it just for the paycheck. Do it because it's something that you enjoy and that you bring real value to. Because I'll tell you that, and I'll do a one on this, you know, how to recession-proof yourself. But as a sneak peek to that, one of the best ways to recession-proof yourself is always be reminded of true economic principles. And principles are not strategies. It's not about whether or not you do this real estate deal or that investment deal here or investing in the stock market at this time or that time. It has nothing to do with that. Principles deal with what are real laws of economics. You know, is there demand for that thing, right? You know, is it, because you can have what seems like the best numbers on a piece of paper, but if people don't want it, you know, people don't want that deal, it doesn't matter. If there's no transaction involved, it doesn't matter. There's going to be ways that you can serve and create value for people. That's always been the answer and always will be. Even if the dollar disappears and we don't have any real quote-unquote currency, right? It's still based on labor and value. What value do you bring to the table? What labor are you able to perform that people value to the point where they say, I will exchange things or that something of equal or really it's something of greater value in their, you know, of their mind. It'll be lesser value for them, but greater value for us, which is why we accept it, right? So they want to exchange that kind of value to receive that value in return because they want whatever you have that's of greater value to them than whatever currency they have. It's not rocket science when you understand the real basics. So guys, that's my thing. Like, you know, beware of being lazy, especially when markets have been up. It's so easy just to kind of sit back and just let things ride and be passive. And this is not the time to be passive. In fact, this is the best time right now to be proactive, to make sure that you're minimizing your risk as much as possible while maximizing returns. Now is the time to do that. If you have any questions for me, you can always shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. In the meantime, guys, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. Be vigilant, be watchful, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.